This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Happy Monday, everyone. We had such a fun weekend. We caught up with some of Dale's friends, and it's pretty funny because one of the guys is literally a chocolate connoisseur.
Yeah, I'd say he's Adelaide's, if not Australia's, biggest chocolate connoisseur. He knows everything about it, and we just had a debate last night about the do's and don'ts of storing chocolate.
He is the right person to ask because he consumes at least one block of chocolate a day. Now, he used to consume more because he would have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I love that. I love when he was talking about it, though, because he'd talk about the chocolate in lines. It kind of sounded like he was talking about drugs. But he's like, I'll have two lines in the morning. Well, I used to have two lines in the morning.
I absolutely love his passion for chocolate. And it was really funny because Kate and I were asking him, so do you put it in the fridge or leave it out? And he's obviously thought about this a lot. So he has certain rules for summer and winter, which I can completely understand.
Wait,
so
firstly, Sophie, what do you do? Do you put it in the fridge or do you leave it out?
I leave it out. But after speaking to him, I'm thinking I have to think seasonably when I think about chocolate. So in summertime, he puts it in the fridge, obviously.
Mm.
In wintertime, he also puts it in the fridge, but 45 minutes before he's about to eat the chocolate, he will take it out and then eat it line by line. And I think that's very clever because there's nothing worse than melted chocolate.
That sounds like so planned. Do you know what I mean? Like you have to really think ahead if you do want chocolate that night to take it out 45 minutes before.
Well, his other rule as well is that he only buys chocolate when it's half price because he works out by the dollar how much every gram of chocolate should be. So it's some fascinating stuff.
I've got to ask because we did a chocolate hierarchy ages ago on our Outspoken social media accounts and people were so passionate about which was the god tier level.
We got in a lot of trouble because we didn't include the Black Forest chocolate and I've actually never had it before. Maybe we're going to have to rectify it this week.
I've been saying that I want to do a reel on Instagram where we rank chocolate but we have to taste test it as well. So maybe we'll see how the Black Forest ranks. I want to know though, this chocolate connoisseur, what is his favorite chocolate?
This surprised me. So I thought maybe he'd lean towards Marble or one of the, you know, very popular chocolates like that. His ultimate favorite chocolate is the Kit Kat Chunky. Now, I feel like it's a bit random.
I do, but I've never had a bad chunky Kit Kat, have you?
I haven't consumed that many in my lifetime. I stick to the normal Kit Kat, but maybe I'm going to have to add one of those as well to the list.
Okay, well, what's your favorite chocolate then? What's your god tier level chocolate?
Okay. I used to consume, probably a couple of years ago, I would have a bar of chocolate a day, which was really terrible. We used to have a vending machine in the office and that was my guilty pleasure around 3 o'clock. But so that used to always be a marvelous popping candy chocolate.
See, that's too sweet for me.
It was very, very sweet. Now I have switched to Marble because it's just come out and I bloody love it. But I limit myself now. I don't allow myself to have it very often.
I got a reminder on my Snapchat that 3 years ago I purchased a CC's Cadbury chocolate block.
And I forgot it reminded about those.
Me, yeah, how good they were. But I think that's a really divisive chocolate because you either love it or you hate it. I think I have to say that is probably in my god tier level.
Well, Brandon's favorite chocolate is the Milky Bar. Is that what it's called? Milky Bar?
Milky Bar. Yeah.
And he's actually got me onto white chocolate. I never used to like it before. Now another little guilty pleasure is those red lollies, like the little raspberry lollies with the white chocolate around them. They are elite. I'd love to know what everyone else thinks. So what is your favorite chocolate? And do you keep it in the fridge or in the pantry? I'm dying to know.
Hi guys, my name is Sammy Robinson and welcome back to Bondi Sands YouTube channel. I actually do a little bit of YouTube myself. I'm on Instagram a bit and TikTok.
In a Q&A on her Instagram feed, Sammy Robinson has revealed more details about her breakup with long-term boyfriend Nick Wheatley. She has also denied having a new boyfriend. This is what she said.
This one makes me laugh. No, I do not have a new boyfriend. I don't know why everyone's asking me this. I am single and I'm going to stay single for a while. I need to be single for a little bit.
It's interesting she's come out and addressed the rumors on her Instagram story on Friday, because the denial comes after followers spotted Sammy and rumored boyfriend Jordan Simi sharing Instagram stories from the same location at the same time.
Well, I just think maybe Sammy is just seeing this guy and she's not actually official with him.
Yeah, but she did say she wanted to remain single, and there was even a question about whether she should go on The Bachelorette, and she put a little poll up asking what people thought about that. I mean, I could definitely see that. I would watch The Bachelorette with Sammy on it.
Oh, it would be an absolute win for Channel 10 to have Sammy Robinson as The Bachelorette.
So do you guys think that maybe Jordan could possibly be a friend?
No, I think they're definitely dating. I think that she's just playing it down. It's probably not serious at the moment. And because it's been not that long since she split up with Nick, she doesn't want to make a big deal about it.
Do you think it might be because he's quite controversial? He is open and honest about his relationships and sex life on his podcast, and he has dated a string of different influencers and high-profile women. Do you think she doesn't want to say that they're dating?
Well, I have heard that Sammy's talent management agency, Max Connectors, do try and protect her reputation and image a lot. So this could be a direction coming from them to maybe distance herself from him. On the other hand, I feel like it's more likely that, as you guys were saying, perhaps this is just a new relationship and they're getting to know each other, which would be really difficult during lockdown. So perhaps they are just seeing each other and seeing where it goes at the moment before they put a label on it.
It might also be because of the timing around only just announcing her split from Nick. We've also got to remember that Jordan Simi has two children, so that obviously adds a different layer to the relationship and coming out and saying that you're an official couple.
Another influencer who has opened up about her relationship status is Lily Brown. She revealed in a Q&A that she is happily single after parting ways with her ex-boyfriend a few months ago. She explained that she simply fell out of love with him, but they are still really good friends and talk often. She also went on to say that her ex-boyfriend is super private, so she wants to respect his privacy and not answer any more questions about it.
I find it ironic that Lily and Sammy have both chosen Instagram Q&As to reveal this juicy gossip.
Well, there has been rumors going around for a while that Lily Brown and her boyfriend have separated.
Yeah, well, do you think that their Q&As were just inundated with the question of have you broken up, that they had to answer it?
Yeah, Lily touched on that this was the most asked question during the Q&A. And I feel like there has been so much interest around her boyfriend in particular because his identity has remained a secret the whole time they have dated. His face has never appeared in photos. He hasn't been in any vlogs. And we really don't know too much about him.
Do you think that put pressure on their relationship? Because I would assume if you're an influencer and you're used to sharing every aspect of your life, it would be a big thing that your partner doesn't want to be involved in it.
I definitely think it could have put a little bit of a strain on their relationship, because she did get another question that asked, what do you look for in a man? And one of the qualities she said was someone who complements her life but also has their own stuff going on. And I feel like if you are an influencer, you do need someone to be part of the fun with you. I just feel like it would be really difficult to be purposely excluding someone the whole time. You know, you might just want to put up a photo of your boyfriend and you out to dinner.
Yeah, and to be honest, it is really good content for them and content that people want to watch. It is funny though, because Lily originally said that she loved the fact that her boyfriend was so private and didn't want to be involved.
Well, I wonder if it's because of her ex-boyfriend, Jerome, because maybe there were question marks over whether he was just with Lily to gain a bit more of a following. I'm not saying that was the case, but you would be suspicious of men who came into your life, and you probably would find it quite attractive that someone wasn't interested in the Instagram life.
I also think that sometimes people get out of a relationship with one person and say, I want the complete opposite of that person. Then when they date, then they realize, hey, I actually want someone in the middle. So maybe that's what's happened here. But I do think that Lily has responded really well to the breakup. She's been very respectful of his privacy still and has seemed to really tackle it in a mature way.
I'm actually really enjoying Lily Brown's content at the moment because, as you said, I feel like she's really matured and she seems to be a very different person than she was a few years ago.
I'm becoming a vegetarian.
Shut up.
Yeah, don't want it in my life anymore.
Sausages are what? Arseholes and eyeballs, aren't they? They're full of rubbish anyway.
Sophie Kasia has revealed her latest secret project is a memoir. The mummy blogger has written a book called Then There Was Her, which has been touted as revealing new details of her marriage breakdown. Kate, can you tell us about the announcement on Instagram?
Yeah, so Sophie chose to reveal the secret project via an Instagram video that went for almost 3 minutes. Now, I sat through the video waiting to see what this special project was. And I've got to say, I cringed so much watching the video because It tried to be very artsy, and it was this black and white sort of story about Sophie navigating motherhood by herself. Now, obviously, this is a really touching story and a really interesting story as well. However, I feel like the videography was quite average.
Yeah, it let it down a little bit because I felt like as a videographer, I could see there were parts that were meant to be slow mode. I'd love to know who actually shot it.
I think it was also quite evident that she was trying to build up this element of emotion throughout it by showing her getting her kids ready for school together, the photographs in the frames, you know, then her taking a bit of time to herself by getting ready. However, I feel like from a completely creative perspective, it would have been better to have some storytelling involved in the video, perhaps some moments that she was speaking about in her life.
Yeah. Do you mean a bit of voiceover?
Yeah, a bit of voiceover, maybe some headlines about her that were controversial that she's, you know, I don't know. It just, to me, the video went for so long. I don't know who could have made it through the whole video to wait for the bit at the end of her revealing that she had a book.
Yeah, I also agree in terms of that it lacked storytelling. And using the song from Kid Laroi, Without You, and including the lyrics, You Can't Make a Wife Out of a Hoe, it just was really awkward.
It was a little bit awkward. I mean, I agree with you, Sophie, from a PR perspective, or even just from a newsworthy perspective, you know, as journalists, you're told you write a lead and you write the most important thing in the lead because that's what people are going to hear first. I think she needed to get to the point that this was what she was revealing, her book.
Even if she read out some excerpts from the book, that could have been really interesting. Obviously, she's teasing here that she's sharing some never-before-shared details of her marriage breakdown. Maybe she could have opened up a little bit about that and how she feels putting that information out there to the world, or even reading a passage about a difficult time during her marriage.
Well, talking about an excerpt from the book is yet to be released. However, it is available for pre-order. However, the blurb has been released, and a lot of people are drawing comparisons between Sophie's book and the book Glennon Doyle wrote called Untamed. So for those who aren't familiar with Glennon Doyle, she is an American author and activist who was married to former model Craig Melton, and they had 3 children together. However, in 2016, everything changed for Glennon when she met soccer player Abby Wambach on a book tour. The pair fell in love and she got married to Abby in 2017. So obviously there's some big similarities between Abby and Sophie's story. So in Sophie's blurb, she says, I raced into the hotel, took the lift to the wrong floor, fumbled my bag and finally landed at the entrance. I went around the circle of unfamiliar faces, smiling, shaking hands, introducing myself. Then there was her. As our hands touched, time froze. My whole world changed forever. Now, Sophie, can you please share with me the blurb from Glennon Doyle's book? Because this is where people are drawing comparisons.
So Glennon's blurb reads, for many years, Glennon Doyle denied her own discontent. Then, while speaking at a conference, she looked at a woman across the room and fell instantly in love. 3 words flooded her mind. There she is.
By reading both of those blurbs, it's quite clear that Sophie and Glennon have had really similar experiences. I suppose for me, the thing that jumped out was the use of the word, then there was her, and then there she is. That for me sounded so similar. It's not to say that there is any copying going on, because obviously, as I said before, they share very similar stories, but it will be really interesting to read Sophie's book and see how their stories evolve and if they're quite similar in terms of how their families blended together and the marriage breakdown. I'm really keen to read this book.
Why is it that I'm being blamed, that I'm being
because
saying...
Because you've actually said the
can
word...
Can I spock? Spock? Can I speak?
I don't know, spock. Can you spock?
Former Real Housewives of Melbourne star Lydia Scavello has come under fire for a bizarre Photoshop fail. So in the process of photoshopping herself in a 2014 picture of her and co-star Chica, she has absolutely done the dirty on her. She has made her look huge and herself look small. Fans have quickly picked up on this Photoshop fail and have commented underneath that this obviously was photoshopped. And Lydia has come out and denied it and saying that she would never do it because she's been fat shamed before. Now, no one called Chica fat. They just said that the Photoshop was terrible. Now, it's gone to the point where Chica's daughter, Chessie, has gone onto her Instagram account and she has completely called out Lydia, and I could not agree any more with her. She said,
A grown woman posted this yesterday, 7 years later and the worst editing job I've ever seen. Honestly laughed when I was shown because it's truly the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. But I actually woke up incredibly mad that in 2021, a woman went out of her way to bring another woman down. Yes, it's my mother, but taking a step back from this, it is so high school and actively malicious. I'm truly shocked. What 50-something woman sits at home morphing herself to look thin and the woman next to her large? I hope Lydia thought no one looked at this and thought, wow, she looks amazing. Everyone looked at it and said, how tragic in high school you are. I worry for your mindset. It poses serious questions around your ego. Are you that desperately in need of attention that your ego stroked that you're willing to do that to another person's expense? Girl, I'm embarrassed for you.
I absolutely love this response from Chica's daughter. I think she summed it up so well. And what I also love is the fact that Chica has remained so dignified in this whole ordeal. She put up a post explaining that she wasn't going to comment on the photo, but she'd received so many messages that she felt like she had to say something. So she reshared her daughter's post and said that Chessie summed it up perfectly and she doesn't understand the point of pulling another woman down. She also said, I'm all about positivity, empowerment and raising a woman up. I think that's all I need to say. Thank you to everyone who has made me feel so protected and loved.
Now, I agree 100% with Chica and the way she's handled it, but just playing devil's advocate, do you think that Lydia put the photo up and just looked at herself and thought, oh, I look great? You know when someone shows you a group photo and you only look at yourself and go, yeah, that's great, and then you find out everyone's blinking?
Do you think she's the one that's edited it. So surely she would have seen that she, making herself slimmer, she is moving Chica's body to make it bigger. Like, that is the first thing you look at when you see the photo, and it's a terrible Photoshop job as well.
It was a terrible Photoshop job. I could just imagine Mum using Facetune and then not realizing what she's done wrong.
Well, she's got eyes. Surely she can see what she's done to the photo. It is horrific, and I'm sorry. It's the first thing you spot when you see the photo.
Well, Lydia responded to the drama by resharing the original photo and writing, Hi Chica, I was sent many old photos from previous seasons of Real Housewives of Melbourne. I thought it was a great photo of all of us and it was something we can't do now. Hashtag grand final. It was never my intention to offend anyone. Sending love. She then obviously received further backlash over it. So she said that her last post has been deleted and she then shared a series of more glamorous photos of the two of them together and said, my apology to all. After being fat shamed, I would not intentionally do that to anyone. I just found it really awkward to share all these like more glamorous photos because it's quite apparent that you did have better photos that you could have shared together.
How are these two not in the latest series of Melbourne Housewives? This is the drama that we've been waiting to watch.
Well, I feel like Chessie needs to be included on the series because she is bringing all the tea and all of the drama. She followed it up by sharing a screenshot of Lydia reacting to her post. So in the post where she defended her mother, Lydia sent laughing faces. So Chessie responded by saying, tragic girl, get it together. You can block me again. No need for us to have access to one another. I don't welcome your time or energy in my life. She then wrote, someone tell this woman to get out of my DMs. I don't even think my embarrassment for her could extend further than this.
Do you think Lydia's trying to stay relevant now that she's not on Melbourne Housewives?
No, I think it was just a complete fail on her behalf, to be totally honest.
Well, what do you mean? Well, a complete
I don't think that she, on her behalf, like a Photoshop fail.
You're saying you don't think there's malice?
I don't think she expected it to blow up like this. I think that she thought it was a good photo of her and she shared it and forgot that she'd poorly photoshopped it.
I think there's a lot of malice in this, particularly because of Chessie's response. It's clear that there's beef between the two of them, and it's clear that she was, you know, when people. I feel like girls are quite good at this. I don't mean to stereotype, but you know when someone shares something that pisses you, like to piss someone off, but they think it's really subtle when it's really not. I think this is a case of that.
Well, this was to promote her culinary classes that she does. I don't know what the picture had to do with them, but I think that it's quite evident that she's possibly jealous of Chica's success in the business world.
Do not say that I'm vulgar. Everything that comes out of your mouth,
Gina,
is offensive.
Excuse me.
And I'm not interested
I'm
in
sorry.
It at all.
Is it
wise
that we're
at?
We have
stop
to listen
talking.
To you.
Yeah, you
can
are.
Have
you your
throw
opinion,
your
darling.
Around.
You are not the C
don't
word.
Even care.
You're an insignificant ass hair.
There's been a lot of talk about anti-vaxxers and anti-lockdown influencers, but there's been some amazing posts this week by a number of well-known Aussie influencers getting vaccinated. So Tully Smythe was one of those influencers who shared an Instagram post following her first dose of Pfizer. She said she felt like a badass sexy bitch for getting her first dose and told anti-vaxxers not to bother messaging her and unfollowing her if she offends them.
I really liked following Tully's journey of getting her vaccine. Her and her friend almost seemed like they were on a high after they got it because they were just so excited that they were making a step forward to help the community and I suppose getting back onto that path of normality.
Well, here in South Australia, you can book in today if you're over 16 to get an AstraZeneca shot or a Pfizer shot. And I'm actually so excited. And Soph and I are kind of nervous that we're not going to be able to book in.
It reminds me of when you're waiting for concert tickets to come out and you've got your laptop at the ready. And when we do get the vaccine, I would like to share it across our Instagram page and maybe do a Q&A because I feel like Tully in particular, it's been great for her to educate other people and answer questions about how she's feeling after getting it.
Sammy Robinson's another influencer who shared that she got vaccinated last week during an Instagram Q&A, and also Madison Woolley revealed that she got the AstraZeneca first dose as well. And I'm really proud of these two young women for sharing their experience on their Instagram because they have such a young and impressionable audience.
I really wasn't surprised to see Madison Woolley getting AstraZeneca because both of her parents are medical scientists. So she's obviously grown up in an environment where she's educated about vaccines and how helpful they are to the community. So I'm so impressed that she is showing, as you said, that she's gone out and got it done.
And we've all seen Abby Chatfield, of course, talking about her experience getting AstraZeneca. Brooke Hogan is another influencer who shared that she's going to get vaccinated.
I think the thing that we also have to be mindful of, it is very brave for these influencers to be sharing the fact that they have got vaccinated because there's a lot of backlash that comes when you do start talking about getting vaccinated.
Hey guys, welcome to today's vlog.
Keep It Cleaner founders Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henshaw have opened up about their biggest insecurities during a podcast episode. Sophie, can you fill us in?
Yeah, I really love this episode because I felt like they were so vulnerable about their insecurities and it was really refreshing to hear. So Laura explained that she was really inspired to explore the topic after she received a number of negative podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts.
God, we've all been there before.
Definitely. So the review in question said, I know she's trying to be funny, but as a listener, it can get quite annoying how Laura criticizes or makes fun of everything Steph says. Another review said, why does Laura speak like a toddler? I always cringe so bad when I've listened and end up turning off.
I don't know how anyone could be mean to Laura Henshaw because she just seems like the kindest, sweetest person.
She's an angel. She's a dead set angel.
It's like shooting Bambi. Like, that's how I feel about Laura Henshaw. Like, how could you ever be mean to her?
I know. And it's not like she talks about anything controversial because we're sort of open to getting negative comments because we sort of put our opinions out there, but they talk about lovely things.
Mm. Well, what I could really relate to, in a sense, having our own podcast, is the fact that Steph said that she's banned Laura and herself from looking at the podcast reviews. So Steph said she's actually never looked at the reviews. And this reminds me of us because you guys have banned me from looking at them.
Sophie, I think you need to take Steph's advice on board because we have said so many times to Sophie, look, Amy and I are not interested in reading the reviews. We would prefer not to. Obviously, we're open to constructive criticism, but not, you know, people telling you you're dumb. Anyway, so we said to Sophie, please don't send them to us. What does she do? Every time there's a review, she is hot on them. She'll screenshot them and send the negative ones through. She even sends them to Mum. I'm like, could you stop sending this to Mum? It's probably upsetting her.
I'm in a really bad routine because I'm just getting into bed. Then I think, oh, maybe I'll check the reviews. And for those who aren't in the podcast world, the review section on Apple Podcasts, it's a very treacherous place to visit. There's literally no right of reply. People don't have to put their identity so they can remain anonymous on there. So people can basically say whatever they like and tear you down.
I remember hearing Stacey Dooley, a journalist in the UK, talk about this, how she used to get all these trolling comments. And she was saying that she also used to read them right before she went to bed. And then she's like, why am I doing this? If this was this is almost like an abusive relationship with the internet, reading these reviews. If I was in a relationship like this, I would leave it. So why am I going and seeking these things out?
Yeah, it's so true. I feel like I am going to have to take a leaf out of Steph Claire Smith's book because she explained that she doesn't really get bothered by the reviews because at the end of the day, they're just being themselves on the show, and people, not everyone's going to like everything you do. So their podcast is aimed primarily at young women. So therefore, not everyone's going to love what they're talking about. Not everyone's going to love the guests that they have on the show. You're not going to please everyone.
I love how you take that advice from Steph, but we have been saying something similar to you for ages.
I do remember once receiving a really nasty review. I think it said we were white privileged trash or something like that, and that all we did was sit around with drinking wine thinking we were funny and we should start a podcast. And then literally 4 weeks later, the person changed their review and said this podcast was their favorite thing to listen to. So I feel like you can't really take much feedback on board, because with podcasts, people change their minds so quickly.
I feel like there's also a lot of people who do hide behind the whole anonymous thing, and it could really be from anyone you know. That being said, of course, a lot of the reviews we receive are clearly from people who just don't like it because it's not for them.
Yeah, and the thing is, we expect to get negative reviews because we talk about a lot of things that are controversial.
That's right. Well, it wasn't only Laura who was vulnerable and opened up about her insecurities. Steph said that she currently feels more vulnerable to criticism in her new role as a mum. This is what she said.
Why I'm so anxious about it at the moment, even though there's days where I feel like I've got this, I'm doing really well, I'm really proud of myself, there's absolutely days and moments where I'm incredibly anxious or feeling guilty or whatever because I might get a comment or a DM or something I've done. And because I've never done motherhood before, and it's not just me, it's not just involving me, it's involving Harvey, you know, it's another individual, it's my son. And if I for a second feel like I've done something wrong because it's scary and it's horrible and it's incredibly vulnerable. And I think, yeah, for me, I'm currently working through that.
I just think regardless of whether you have a platform or not, I do think that Steph opening up about these feelings is something a lot of new mums could relate to. You're in a role that you've never done before, and you've got people around you who are all experts in it. Everyone is an expert at the moment, yeah. I feel.
I mean, there has been a lot of praise, I think, for the way Steph has gone through motherhood, the first stages of motherhood, but I suppose she's not immune to negative comments as well.
Well, she said that she gets scared sometimes by the amount of negative DMs she receives, and it makes her feel at the time like she's done something wrong or she's failed. So I just think, you know, you look at her life and assume it's perfect, but clearly she is not immune to these feelings at all and the feelings of judgment. Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, we would really appreciate it if you could be one of those kind people and give us a 5-star rating and also
give Sophie
a review.
Something positive to screenshot and send to our mum.
And if you haven't already, make sure that you're subscribed on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And if you want to continue the conversation, please join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
We've just hit 6,000 group members in there, which is exciting.
And don't forget to tag us in where you're listening to the podcast.